Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Courtney Mares, part two. She'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Courtney Mares, Rome correspondent with Catholic News Agency and EWTN News. She has written a book on the life of Blessed Carlo Acutis called Blessed Carlo Acutis, A Saint in Sneakers. And tonight she's going to talk to us about his life, his love for the Holy Eucharist, and how we can be holy in this digital age.
And this is the second part of a two-part interview we did with Courtney. And now Courtney has a reflection video for us.
Carlo Acutis called the Eucharist my highway to heaven. And for him, the Eucharist truly was the source and summit and the center of his life of holiness and his heroic virtue. Shortly after his first communion, Carlo told his mother that he wanted always to be united to Jesus. And the way he did that was by attending Mass as often as he could. Luckily, growing up in Milan, in the city, his apartment was just around the corner from his parish church and his Catholic school. And so that Carlo was able to walk around the corner and stop in the church to pray in front of the tabernacle or attend Mass before and after school. And that's how Carlo was able to attend daily Mass as an elementary school student and as a high school student. And Carlo really allowed the love of God from his life of prayer and the sacraments to overflow and to share, and he shared that with the people in his life, especially his classmates. Carlo is known as being a great friend. He was very affectionate and kind and generous and loyal. He stood up for classmates who were being picked on by bullies, and he was also there for his friends in their times of need. In my book, I share the story about one of Carlo's friends named Vanessa, who shared with us the story about how when her parents were going through a separation, it was a really difficult time for her. And as a friend, Carlo saw this, and he approached her and said, God sees your suffering, and he is with you, and God loves you, and you are not alone. Please know that you're never alone. And Carlo actually took it a step further and gave her a Bible and essentially said, you know, read this and know that God loves you, and you are never alone. And so that's just one of the ways that Carlo was able to share the love of God with his classmates, his peers, anyone he encountered in his life. Carlo's love of God is just contagious, and he's a great inspiration to us to not be afraid to share our faith as well.
Courtney, welcome back to Life on
Thank
the Rock.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And continue our discussion on the life of Blessed Carlo Acutis. And you've also written a book on the life of Blessed Carlo Acutis on A Saint in Sneakers. It's an excellent read. It's very readable, which I like. But here was a young man that was just totally devoted to the Eucharist. So how do you see Carlo Acutis' role in the Eucharistic revival?
Yeah, the U.S. bishops have made Carlo one of the patrons of their Eucharistic revival. And I was just at the National Eucharist Congress, and it was just beautiful to see more than 50,000 people in an NFL stadium together worshiping the Lord in the real presence in the Eucharist. And I was thinking Carlo would be thrilled. This would be a dream for him to see this. Because for Carlo, one of Carlo's most famous phrases was, the Eucharist is my highway to heaven. And it really proved to be true for Carlo. I think that phrase really does sum up how the Eucharist was the source and summit of his holiness, of the sanctity of his life. Shortly after his first communion at the age of 7, Carlo told his mother that he wanted to always be united to Jesus, That was his goal. Mm. And the way Carlo accomplished this was by going to Mass as often as he could. Now, luckily, growing up in Milan, in a center of an Italian city, his apartment was just around the block mm-hmm. from his parish, which was across the street from his school. And so that's how Carlo was able to attend daily Mass as an elementary school student yeah. and as a high school student. He could, you know, get there on foot, which is accompanied by an adult. Carlo's parents would say that for their son, it was like the tabernacle was this magnet. Mm-hmm. He was just attracted to Jesus's presence in the Eucharist and yeah. wanted to be there. Another great phrase we have from Carlo is that he said that people who place themselves in front of the sun get a tan, mm. while people who place themselves in front of the Eucharist become saints. And we see that certainly with Carlo's life yeah. himself.
And it's interesting that he understood that at the age he did.
Yes, it's so incredible. It's, you know, yeah, just the depth of his wisdom.
Old and not know.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, there is a striking parallel as I was reading your book between Carlo's life and the life of Saint Therese.
Yeah.
Because whenever Saint Therese was growing up, well, oftentimes she'd go out with her father mm-hmm. and they would frequent different Catholic churches and pay respect and homage to our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. And that was something that she would often do, but you see that in the life of Blessed Carlo, that whether a lot of times his nanny, they're going to these churches, they're visiting churches at a very young age mm-hmm. just to stop in and pray. And how long, you know, they were staying there, I don't know. But there, I think there's something to that. Just that exposure that this is what we truly believe as Catholics. And it's just not just anything in there, but it's God who lives and dwells among us. And I think there's so many graces that are made available to us in that example.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Another interesting parallel between the two of them is, you know, Saint Therese is a patron saint of missionaries, mm-hmm. and yet she didn't leave her cloistered convent. And it's one of the beautiful kind of contradictions mm-hmm. in her faith. And you see that also with Carlo, that he's called, you know, the global influencer mm-hmm. of God. You know, Carlo's gone viral, and yet he lived pretty much a relatively normal life for a young person and a teenager of his time. He still, he went to school, was a good friend to his classmates.
In his own way, he was an online missionary.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
What it was.
It's true. Yeah. And it's amazing how he's also been able to reach so many people after he's died. I think that's one of the incredible things mm-hmm. too, about how his story continues to inspire so many people.
Yeah. One of his goals to use the internet was to promote the Eucharist, the Holy
yes.
Eucharist. And he did a lot of work, a lot of research and Eucharistic miracles. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Carlo's spiritual director has attested that Carlo was convinced that the scientific evidence from Eucharistic miracles would be persuasive in helping people awaken them to the mm-hmm. reality of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and help to bring people back to the Mass. That was Carlo's real goal with this Eucharistic miracles project. And for 2.5 years, Carlo worked with his family researching using the computer to research all these different Eucharistic miracles all around the world and put it together into this great display, an exhibition that displayed during the year that John Paul II declared as the year of the Eucharist. And after Carlo's death, this particular exhibit has gone on to be displayed mm-hmm. in parishes and churches and shrines all over the world. And it continues to reach people, you know, with these stories.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to actually visit one. And I want to say there are over like 160 miracles where you can read just kind of the history and story behind it all. But it's very powerful because that's a lot of work to go in and all, you know, to do all that research. But it's very profound that, again, at such a young age, you know, whatever he did was really about leading people to the Eucharist, to our Lord, that
yes.
they may receive him worthily. And I think that's so powerful because I was kind of wondering in his own life where his vocation was headed.
Right. Yeah. He even had a conversation with his mother not long before he died about how he was interested in entering the priesthood and about that possibility. So it's interesting, you know, it's fun to think about, you know, where would Carlo be now? Yeah. And I think that would be a pretty good bet, but God had other plans.
Yeah. And again, that's one of the great mysteries because we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he could have gotten married or, you know, but, you know, just it seems like his trajectory of where he was going in life, he would have been something of, you know, just a priest or a theologian or something. But again, we don't know, but he's, again, I think that's so powerful that, you know, he discovered that love of Jesus for us at such a tender age, you know, and sometimes like in my own life, it's not, you know, we don't come to realize that until we're in college.
Yeah.
You know, and you look back and you kind of go, man, what was I doing?
Right. Yeah.
And so that's an experience that we can have, but just having that reawakening of the faith is a powerful grace as well. But, you know, Carlo is there to help us. But we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get into more into the life of Blessed Carlo.
Great.
Courtney, can you tell us a little bit about Carlo's illness and last days?
Yes. So when Carlo was going into his second year of high school, shortly after the school year had started, his mother noticed a red spot in his eye, and then Carlo developed a fever, and you know, they decided he should take a sick day. And what started out as a relatively normal sick day for Carlo, he was on his computer doing homework, praying the rosary, typical Carlo things. Quickly, it became clear that Carlo was very ill. And so his parents took him to the hospital, he underwent some tests, and then he got the diagnosis that he had cancer, he had leukemia. And Carlo accepted this serious diagnosis with such serenity that it actually had an effect on, you know, the doctors and nurses in the hospital were just inspired by this young boy and how he responded to this moment of illness. And of course, we also saw Carlo as he was suffering with cancer. He said, you know, I offer up all that I am suffering for the Pope and for the Church. And he made this act of offering up the suffering that he endured. And Carlo really believed in the power of redemptive suffering. Once again, you know, this great spiritual wisdom that he had at such a young age, to believe that, you know, the suffering that he endured had value, and when it was united to Christ's salvific offering on the cross. And and Carlo died young. He died at the age of 15, and he didn't have that much time on earth, but he was ready to go. He had lived his life completely for God and knew that you know, the Eucharist had truly been his highway to heaven, and he was ready to offer himself up to the Lord.
Yeah, and that's such a tough message to hear.
Yeah.
And I don't know maybe how advanced, you know, as leukemia was, but it seemed like things happened rather quickly.
Things happened very quickly, yeah. He died within a week of of learning that he had leukemia, so it was very rapid.
It
was very, yeah, he was probably already very serious.
But that surrender to God, of having that awareness of that redemptive suffering that you were talking about, that's a special grace.
Yeah.
Right there to really embrace that. Mm-hmm. And but I truly, truly believe, because it was his faith in the Eucharist that really gave him that strength to embrace it. But then also to hear about him offering prayers for the Pope and for the Church is very powerful, you know, because that's somebody that's really in tune to the faith. And again, holiness isn't out of reach for the young.
Yes.
You know, they're called to participate in that life, that divine life of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's in one sense, that's why the church exists, you know, to draw us into that full communion. And here we see a young man that was able to do that. So how do you see young people? What role can Carlo Acutis play in somebody who's young but doesn't have faith?
Yeah, Carlo shows us what holiness can look like in our complex digital age. Mm-hmm. I feel like many Christians are still grappling with, you know, how do you live out your faith in our world of cell phones and laptops and social media and all the challenges that that provides. And I think Carlo is number one, a great intercessor in dealing with those challenges, especially for young people. But he also shows us an example with his life. I think one of the great secrets of Carlo's life was that he lived a life of deep prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And by being rooted in the sacraments, in Mass and confession in particular, those two, Carlo was able to receive the graces he needed to approach technology in a healthy way.
Right.
And I think that's one of the greatest ways that that he is an exemplar of how to approach technology today. Because those, you know, those same graces are available to us.
Yeah.
You know, we can also go to Mass, pray the Rosary, go to confession. And I think that's one of the many ways that he's a great example for young people.
You know, and one of the things about Carlo in our digital age is that although he loved computers and video games, he was also detached from them.
Exactly.
As much as he loved them, it's kind of an irony there.
Yes.
Because he could, you know, put that aside, you know, and focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a boy, you know, a guy will play 8 hours, you know, and that's almost nothing.
Right.
But, you know, he had that discipline, you know, to say, nah, I need to pray.
Yes.
Most boys aren't like that. It's the opposite, you know. But he was also aware of the dangers of what all the internet can provide, especially in regarding purity. And he's also, I think, just a great model of purity in our day and age, which is hard to really achieve and to strive for. But he's somebody I would really encourage to pray to for purity, especially if people struggle with purity.
Yeah. Yeah. Carlo loved technology. Mm-hmm. He loved computers. He taught himself how to code at a young age, but he wasn't lost in a digital world.
Right.
You know, he was very much present to the people around him in their daily lives. And, you know, even with guys who he was playing video games, you know, he wasn't afraid to have those tough conversations about and to challenge his friends, you know, to live their lives of faith, you know, deeper in ways where maybe they were far away from God.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you mentioned there's so many temptations that, you know, social media and the internet, you know, provide for young people today. I think one of those is also you see vanity and the selfie culture that's appeared. And I think that's something important to know about Carlo is that he didn't use the internet or media to try to promote himself.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't posting all these selfies online. In fact, Carlo had this great phrase he liked to repeat, which was, non io ma Dio, which means not me, but God. But it's catchier in the Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Non io ma Dio.
Yeah.
And that kind of is what Carlo teaches us, you know, in kind of approaching some of these things. I remember after one day after Carlo's beatification, Pope Francis appeared in the window for the Angelus, and he said that Carlo shows young people that true happiness is found when you put God first.
Mm.
And I think that really is a central lesson from his life.
Amen. That is so true. Well, Courtney, thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you. It's been great.
Well, Father Mark, there's actually so much to unpackage with the life of Blessed Carlo Acutis. And there's so many themes to touch on, but one of the things that really struck me was about his acceptance with his illness and death. I was really kind of shocked to learn, like, you know, he receives his diagnosis, and then within about a week, he's gone. But his faith kept him strong, And I think his sense, his spiritual sense of becoming one with God, but really praying for the church, for the Pope, for all Christians, and just that spread of the gospel was actually really powerful to hear.
Yeah, I was such a young man of 15, right?
15.
and a normal guy, loved the video games, loved computers, and very social, very gregarious person. Yeah, he's certainly a saint for modern times. Hopefully he'll be canonized in 2025. And I was struck in the interview, the line she quoted that the Eucharist is his highway to heaven. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of it that way sometimes. I haven't thought of it in that terms, but just that, you know, we need grace. And yes, we cooperate with grace, but I need grace to come into my life and to move me, you know, to move my will in a way that maintains my freedom. That's the mystery. But that grace sanctifies us and moves me to heaven. Because I'm like chaotic, I'm distracted, I'm all over the place, I get attached to this or that. I need a clean superhighway that I can go fast and roar down to get to heaven. Yeah. And that's what the Eucharist is.
And one of the things about Carlo Acutis, you know, he had that awareness. And I thought Courtney had a great line that Carlo said that, you know, if you spend time out in the sun, you'll get a tan. But if you spend time before our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist, you'll become a saint.
Right.
And he understood that.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, that's a great reminder for all of us Catholics.
It is. It's like the privileged spot of his presence. His presence par excellence, Vatican II said, that he is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Yes, God is everywhere, but God became man. So he comes to us in this extraordinary way. That presence is continued in the Eucharist, that he is truly there. I'm not praying in just a beautiful, empty church. There's the presence of God there in the most extraordinary way. That presence, that sacred humanity is pouring grace. Mm-hmm. It's the instrument of our salvation. It's pouring grace upon us.
And it's interesting because a lot of people were touched by his life, his prayer life before our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist, from his nannies to those that were working with his family to even priests.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a powerful witness because, again, he was only 15 years old when he died.
Yeah, that's a great point. The nanny gave him the faith. The parents weren't practicing very well. So we all have a role to play in helping others come to a deeper faith. Let us do our part. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May you be given the grace to share your Eucharistic faith with others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.